Thank you. And now, dear Christiana, do tell us what first did move you to betake yourself to a pilgrim's life.
And so did Christiana recount to him all that had gone before, to which things the interpreter said,
Thy beginning is good. Thy latter end shall greatly increase.
Thank you, sir.
And you, Mercy. What moved thee to come hither, dear heart?
Oh, I...
Then did Mercy blush and tremble, and for a while could not speak.
Be not afraid. Only believe and speak thy mind.
Truly, sir, the reason I am shy to speak is because I have great fears of not being able to finish out this great journey.
Oh? Why?
Because I have so little experience in these matters.
What meanest thou by little experience?
Well, I cannot tell of dreams and letters as can my friend Christiana here, nor do I know what it is to mourn for having refused good counsel of a loved one now departed.
Well then, what was it, dear heart, that hath caused you to come on this narrow way?
Well, it happened unto me thusly. When our friend here was packing up to be gone from our town, I and another went, quite by chance, to see her.
By chance?
Aye.
What many call chance is more often the providence of God.
So it doth seem in this case. For when we saw her packing up to go, we asked her the meaning. She told us how she had seen her husband in a dream, dwelling in heavenly places among many dressed in white. She had seen him working in the garden beneath his own fig tree, and eating daily at the king's table. She further heard him singing to God for bringing him thither.
Ah, so you heard the vision of heavenly realities?
Yes, sir.
Go on.
Well, as she was telling me these heavenly things, my heart began to burn with desire for them. I began to see that I must surely be ruined if I stayed in that place, and so I asked her if I might accompany her.
Ah, and I see that she did give you an answer of peace.
Oh, yes. She did bid me welcome most freely, and treated me as a daughter rather than a fugitive fleeing from an evil land. And for this I must offer praise and thanks.
And these praises and thanks thou shalt continue to offer her throughout eternity. These shall be, in great measure, the source of her greatest joy, and thou thyself shalt be as a jewel in her crown of rejoicing.
I do praise God for such a hope. And yet, you must know, I came away from my city with a heavy heart.
Why? Did you not see the joy that was set before you?
Oh, yes. But that which gave me sorrow is that I was leaving behind so many of my loved ones. I especially remember one friend named Mariana, whom I carry as a heavy burden upon my heart.
Ah, but despair of them not yet. The Lord doth put your prayers and tears for them into a bottle of remembrance. It may be that they will yet turn, as did this friend of yours.
Oh, I do hope so.
Thy setting out is good, for thou hast given credit to the truth. Thou art a Ruth, who did for the love she bare to Naomi leave all. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust.
Now when supper was ended and preparation was made for bed, the women were put up in private rooms and the boys by themselves. Now when Mercy was in bed, she began to weep. Christiana, hearing it, knocked softly at her door.
Yes.
Mercy?
Yes.
May I enter?
Aye. Do come in.
Is something wrong?
Nay. But these are tears of joy that flow down these cheeks.
For what?
For the blessing of the interpreter. All along this journey, I have had a secret fear that I would not be accepted at the far side of the journey.
Oh, poor doubting child.
But now, I have good hope that I may enter there. He called me a Ruth. A Ruth!
Yes, and a Ruth thou truly art.
He spoke of a full reward from the Lord God of Israel. Did you hear?
I did hear.
Oh, Christiana, his words of blessing have lifted a heavy burden from my back and placed in my heart the joy of salvation. Praise God, and thanks be to thee for bringing me to this place.
And so did these two sisters praise God and recount his goodness far into the night. In the morning, the interpreter said to the damsel that first opened to them,
Innocent.
Master.
Take these dear ones into the labor and wash them clean from the soil which they have gathered by traveling.
Yes, Master.
Why, what a wonderful thing is this, to be thus cleansed from the many stains of our travels.
'Tis my master's custom that all pilgrims go forth from this place cleansed and refreshed.
Then Innocent, the damsel, took them and had them into the garden bath. And ere long they found themselves sweet and clean, and also much enlivened and strengthened in their joints. When they were finished, the interpreter took them, and looking lovingly upon them, said,
Fair as the moon, fair, fair, fair. Innocent, my dear.
Master.
My seal, please.
Here, Master.
Thank you. Christiana?
Sir?
This seal upon your forehead will show you forth as one who hath been entertained and cleansed at this place. Innocent?
Master.
Innocent, while I apply my seal to these pilgrims, go to the vestry and bring garments.
Yes, sir.
And so he set his mark upon their forehead, that they might be known in the places whither they were yet to go. This seal added greatly to their beauty, for it was an ornament to their faces. It also added to their gravity and made their countenances more like those of angels.
The clothes be ready, Master.
Good. Put them on these before me.
Now the garments were made of fine linen, cleaned and white, so as no fuller on earth can white them. But the brightness of this garment was of such a nature as to be unseen by him who did wear it. Therefore was Christiana amazed to see the brightness of Mercy's apparel, and was much behumbled at the dullness of her own. Therefore did each begin to esteem the other better than herself. And so it was with the children also.
Christiana! My!
Look not so upon me, dear Mercy, for thou art much more fair than I.
Nay! But thou and thy children do outshine me as the sun the moon.
Not so, Mercy. I trow that were you already come to heaven, you would shine as brightly as any angel about the throne.
Thank you, sir.
Greatheart? Greatheart? Innocent, is Greatheart nearby?
He is bidding his family farewell for a time. He should be here in...
Did you call, Master?
Ah, there you are. Yes, I want you to take your sword, helmet, and shield, and escort these my daughters to the house named Beautiful. There, Watchful will entertain them for as long as it is profitable to them.
Yes, Master, with great pleasure. Come, madams and gentlemen, follow Greatheart.
Now I saw in my dream that they bade their hosts a sad farewell, and then went on with Greatheart going before them. They had not gone more than a dozen paces, however, before that Mercy turned back and, bowing at the feet of the interpreter, did thank him again for the blessing which had given her such peace of heart. Then did he smile upon her and gave her a secret gift which she looked upon and then hid in her bosom. He then whispered something in her ear, which made her smile and look after those who had gone before. Then he gave her an embrace before sending her racing to catch up. Now it was not long until they came to the place where the straight way touches the foot of the skull-shaped hill which they had been beholding all along their journey. Here they saw the sepulchre wherein Christian's burden had tumbled, and here also they saw him who had given his life for their own. Then were the springs of their heads loosed, and tears did make their way down many a face.
Ah, this sight doth overflow my heart with love to him who hangs there for me. And oh, how small I appear in my own eyes.
'Tis because that pride and self-worship cannot flourish in the soul that keeps fresh in memory the scenes of Calvary.
Ah, then is that why the cross is kept ever in view of us?
Aye, you shall continue to behold it, even as you are crossing the river to the distant shore.
Good. It makes my heart ache to think that he should bleed for me. O thou loving one, O thou blessed one, thou deservest to have me thrice over, for thou dost own me once by creation, and again by the purchase of my pardon with thine own blood, and now by my own consent and desire.
Yea, he hath paid for me 10,000 times more than I am worth.
'Tis no wonder that Christian's eyes filled with tears at this place. Oh, now I can see the blessing that he so longed to share with me. But vile wretch that I was, I sent him on all alone, and for a time thought it good riddance. But now, I see.
Oh, that father and mother were here with me, and Mariana with her children.
Aye, and Mrs. Timorous too. Even Mrs. Wanton would find here the love she seeks. If they could only see this, then neither the fears of the one nor the powerful lusts of the other could prevail to keep them from becoming pilgrims.
You speak now in the warmth of your affections, but how will it be in a week or a year?
By God's grace, it shall be warmer than now.
How will you maintain this warmth?
By continually beholding him.
And how else?
By feeding upon his promises.
Very good, for in his word of promise is the very creative power that formed us from the dust. And how else?
Perhaps best that you tell us, for I perceive that you have something to share.
Only this one thing more. Your master hath said, give, and it shall be given unto you. A lake or sea that hath no outlet soon becomes rank and bitter. So will a follower of Christ that does not share. But if you will go to work as Christ designs that his children shall, and win souls for him, you will feel the need of a deeper experience and a greater knowledge of divine things, and will hunger and thirst after righteousness. You will plead with God, and your faith will be strengthened. Your soul will drink deeper draughts at the well of salvation. Those, dear Christiana, who thus devote themselves to unselfish effort for the good of others are most surely working out their own salvation.
Ah, then I shall set my heart to help any whom I may.
And I.
Now I saw still in my dream that they went on till they were come to the place where Christian had found three men in chains. But now, behold, they were hanged up in irons a little way off on the other side.
Mama, look!
Oh, my!
Whose bones are these, Greatheart?
And for what crime were they hanged there?
Here you see the final end of simple, sloth, and presumption. Men who had no mind to go forward in the way, and who sought to hinder others on their journey. They were for sloth and folly themselves, and it became the great effort of their lives to persuade others to join them.
And did any?
More than I would like to tell. There was one man named Slowpace, another named Shortwind, and many others such as No Heart, Linger After Lust, and Sleepyhead. There was also a young woman named Miss Dull who joined them.
My, my!
Furthermore, they sent many a pilgrim off into the land of giant despair.
What land be that?
'Tis called the land of doubt. 'Tis a damp and dreary place from whence few, besides thy husband, have ever escaped.
And for these crimes they be hanged up here?
Aye, and because they joined with atheists in saying that there was no such place as heaven at all, or, at best, not half so good as had been reported.
Traitors and hypocrites!
Aye. And that which did give their words the more power was that they appeared to be in the way. They took great pains to hide from view the chains that bound them to this place.
Deceivers as well, then.
Look, birds that live by feeding upon the dead.
Aye, this shall be the end of all such men.
Are they guilty of any other crimes?
Oh yes, many more. They did speak evil against the greatest of the king's prophets and holy men. They began to deride and belittle his messenger and made the holy writings of no account. They called the bread of God husk, the comforts of his children idle fancies, and the travels of pilgrims a waste of time.
Indeed. Well, then, they have as they deserve. And it is good that they hang so near the road, so that others may see and take warning.
Aye, I am glad that they were punished before we came hither. Who knows what such ones might have done to poor weak women and children such as we are?
Indeed. 'Tis too bad that their crimes are not engraved upon a plate of brass, so that all who pass by might read and become wise.
So it has been done.
Where?
Go closer to the wall.
Not I, thank you. They give off still an offensive odor.
And they stink.
Well, I for one am ready to be off.
And so we shall.
Thus they went on till they came at the foot of the hill Difficulty, where Christian had parted company with Hypocrisy and Formalist.
Look, Mother, a spring of water.
Aye, but drink not of it, for it be all muddy.
This be the spring from whence Christian did drink before ascending yonder hill.
What, from a spring so befouled as this?
'Twas not so in his day. This spring did once run pure and clean.
Then what happened?
Seest thou all these many footprints coming in and out of the spring?
Aye.
These be the feet of worldly-minded theologians who trample holy things underfoot. They have walked through this place and defiled the pure waters of God with mud from off their feet.
Then is the truth lost forever?
Nay, time be the cure. Here, put the water into a vessel that is sweet and good. Now, we will stay by for a time, and it will soon be seen that the false will settle to the bottom and leave the true for honest pilgrims to drink.
Then the lesson is that we should not drink too soon from the wisdom of the world's so-called great men.
Aye.
But, Master Greatheart, look, under the rock whence the water doth spring, it is yet undefiled.
Aye, and from closer to the source we can drink without these other precautions. But there be few that can crawl up to the place of its beginnings, and so there is this other method.
Ah, well, I shall attempt the crawl. Want to come, Matthew?
Oh, no, not right now.
For those of you who do not wish to find the source, you may partake now, for the mud of superstition be quite settled out.
Next, after all had well drunk, he showed them the two byways that were at the foot of the hill. The one turning to the left was called Danger, and the other, going to the right, Destruction.
Master Greatheart?
Yes, Joseph?
What are all these chains and posts, wires and ditches for?
These are the ordinances of God, put there to prevent pilgrims from going out of the right way.
Ah. It seems that these things, plus these prickly... Ow! Ow! Hedges would prevent any from going astray.
It would seem so. But because the straight way doth go steeply up this hill, there are many who will brave many a thorn and briar to enter upon what seem to be easier ways. But let us remember that a way which seems right may lead to death, and that a way which seems hard may end in life. Therefore remember that in every difficulty we are to see a call to prayer.
Ah.
Ready to begin our climb?
Yes, I am eager to enjoy the arbor provided for the rest of ascending pilgrims.
As am I.
But look!
What?
Look at all those bones! To our left!
Aye, the wise man hath written, he that loveth danger shall perish therein.
But look over here on this wider path. There be many more.
Aye, again. And for this reason, our master did warn us, saying, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat."
Then they set forward and began to go up the hill. And up the hill they went. But before they got to the top, Christiana began to pant and said,
"I dare say, this is a hill to make one breathe. Whew. 'Tis no wonder that they who love their ease more than their souls choose an easier way. My,
I want to go home.
Oh, whew. I too be ready for a rest.
'Tis indeed a difficult way. Phew.
Aye, but I doubt 'tis as difficult as the other two ways.
They could not be nearly so hard as this one.
I want to go home.
Nay, but this way is easier.
How do you know?
How many bones do you see bleaching in the sun?
None. You're right.
I'm tired. Can't we go a better way?
I must sit down.
Come, come. Sit not down here, for just a little above is the prince's arbor.
Mama!
Matthew, help thy brother.
Nay, I am ready to turn back myself.
What? Is the eldest now become the weakest?
I'm sorry, but I am the way I am and cannot help it. All right?
All right, all right.
Come, James. Give me thine hand. Now, on we go.
Now, when they came to the arbor, they were all very willing to sit them down, for they were all in a great heat and near to fainting.
Oh, sweet is rest to them that labor.
Aye, and how good is the Prince of Pilgrims to provide such resting places for them. Ah, is this where my husband did rest?
Aye.
Well, let us enjoy his rest, but beware of his sleep, for I hear that it cost him dearly.
Well, boys, what think ye now about going on pilgrimage?
For a little while I thought my heart was going to fall out, but since you gave me your hand, it has gone easier for me.
And you, Joseph, is it what you thought?
Well, Mother did say that the way to heaven is as up a ladder, and the way to hell is as down a hill. But as for me, I prefer to climb for life rather than to slide to death.
But, Joseph, is not going downhill easy?
It may seem so, but I think that the day is coming when going downhill will be the hardest of all.
And right you are, lad. In the end, the way of transgressors is hard.
What are you writing, Mercy?
Oh, just some thoughts for my diary about our journey.
Oh!
Come, everyone. Will you eat a bit to sweeten your mouths while you sit here to rest your legs?
I didn't know we had any food with us.
Mr. Interpreter gave it to us. I have some pomegranate, a piece of honeycomb, and something sweet to drink.
I thought he must have given you something when he called you aside.
And what did he give thee when thou wentest back?
I cannot tell thee until the right time come.
Ah, a secret then. Here, will you have a small morsel?
'Twas given for thee and thine.
Did I not say that thou shalt share in all the good that I have? Come, partake.
I thank thee.
Here, Matthew, take these morsels and divide them among your brothers.
Let Samuel do it. I'm still catching my breath.
Samuel?
Yes, Mother.
Mr. Greatheart, will you have some of our food?
Nay, but keep it for thyself.
But you have come over the same hard paths we have trod. Surely a bit of refreshment.
Thank you, but I have no need, for soon I shall return home to my good wife, where I may partake to my filling. The food will do more good to you than to me.
And so they gave thanks to their Lord, and then ate and drank. Also, they talked together about this and that, and so made the time to pass pleasantly. At last their guide said,
"Well, the day wears away. Ready to go, lads?
Aye, more than ready.
And you, James, what say ye?
Off with us.
Matthew?
Well, I feel a bit of numbness in my legs, but I trow it shall pass soon.
Is it serious?
Nay, I be able. Let us be off.
What be this numbness of which he speaks?
I know not. But he does not seem to be leading the way so vigorously as is his usual custom. I have some concerns, but as yet I know not why.
Now they had not gone many a pace when Christiana perceived that she had left the bottle of sweet drink back at the arbor.
Samuel! Samuel!
Yes, Mother?
Samuel, I have forgotten our juice back at the arbor. Run fetch it while we wait here.
All right.
That's a good boy.
My, this seems to be a place to lose things. Christian lost his roll here, and Christiana her bottle. Sir, what is the cause of this?
It is usually on cause of either sleep or forgetfulness. Some sleep when they should keep awake, and some forget when they should remember.
And so Christian was a sleeper, and we are forgetters.
Aye, it oft seems that times of ease and rest are of the greatest danger to pilgrims.
Why?
Because in such places they are tempted to chatter aimlessly about this and that and forget to be giving praise for all the blessings given earlier in their journey. By this neglect, many have their rejoicing end in tears and their sunshine turned to clouds.
Like Christian did.
And as we nearly did. Henceforth, let us be more careful to keep our conversation on more profitable matters.
Aye.
Here's your bottle, Mother.
Thank you, Samuel.